Okay, everybody, I'm back. And Equinox, you better lock up your wife.
Look out.
Prepare yourself for an in-depth look at all your favorite villains, one villain at a time. It is the Rogues Gallery with the man down under himself, Damian Smith. Here now, the Rogues Gallery.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to the one-year anniversary episode of Rogues Gallery. That's right. We've had about 50 Rogues Galleries since we started, so it figures we might as well have the one-year anniversary eventually. All right, it's episode 4. We know it's been hard actually getting these coordinated, but it's finally here. It is indeed the next Rogues Gallery, and I am joined, of course, by the guy who does not let distance stop him from being at CGS 300. It is Lord Shaper, Damian Smith. How you doing, Damian?
Not bad. Yourself?
Pretty good, man. Long time no speak on the podcast, but we've been chatting now and then. Like, hey, when are we going to do this? Oh, yeah, about that. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for you? Oh, doesn't work for me? Okay, fine. But finally, we found a date. So finally, we're getting this recorded.
And this is the second date for this one as well?
Yes, it is. but I did get a free copy of the Metalocalypse CD out of it, so it's all worth it. Hey, there was free beer and there was free CDs. It's hard to pass that up in any opportunity. Hey, this time I'm actually sitting at my desk and we're actually recording. First off, before we even get into the Rogues Gallery, tell us the steps that needed to be taken in order for you to actually be on the phone at CGS 300.
Probably about a month and a half beforehand, I was listening to one of the episodes of CGS and Brian and Peter were talking about something and they said, oh, this is something we've kept secret from everybody else. So I thought, well, that's unfair to Jamie. So I contacted Jamie and said, hey, any chance that there's some way that I could ring in or something, you know, like the guys from Texas did. But I wanted to keep it secret from everyone else because they keep on actually having secrets from you. And it just went on from there. Yeah.
See, on Friday, Brian Lobo, obviously, his podcasting partner in Cryptographic, told me, yeah, and Damien's going to have a surprise for everybody. And I'm like, oh, God, what's this going to be? Because it's like I thought either you were going to pop out of a cake or you brought something for the guys or something like that, or you're calling in. So I knew it wasn't going to be popping out of a cake because that would take a lot of mileage just to pop out of a cake. So,
and I'd probably eat it by then, too.
Yeah, exactly. In the shipping, you'd probably end up eating it. I had a feeling it was probably going to be a phone call. So when you did, I'm like, okay, cool. I was right. So there you go.
Well, I'm amazed nobody thought it was the actual picture that we had in the program as well, because I was the one who organized that with all the Australian guys.
Ooh, yeah. And that was
to
gorgeous.
To get Mike to do that one.
That was absolutely gorgeous.
And I've got the original art sitting here because Mike sent it to me.
Very nice. Lucky.
And nobody knew it until now.
Well, you are a lucky man, sir, a lucky man. But let's actually get into the Rogues Gallery here. And this one is going to be back to Marvel, as we've been sort of doing Marvel DC. This one is going to be on probably one of the most popular villains in the Marvel U. A guy who's gone through a lot of changes since he's actually been around the first time, and a couple of deaths, too. Obviously, spoiler warnings, big shock there. We're going to be going to Bullseye. So, Damian, take it away.
Okay. Bullseye's first appearance was in Daredevil 131, which came out in March 1976, and was created by Marv Wolfman and J.R.J.R. His alter ego, it's unknown, but he's actually got a couple of aliases that he's known as either as Lester or as Ben Poindexter. He's had a bit of a reboot on his actual history, latest version of it actually. It says he grew up in the Bronx. He lived with a brother and his abusive father, where his brother's main form of recreation was actually playing with rifles, which then Bullseye took up himself to become a good shot. At the age of 10, his brother started a fire trying to kill his father. So,
ooh.
Sounds like a really nice way to grow up.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, when you're 10 years old, your brother tries to start a fire. And before that, he's playing with rifles. So there's got to be something seriously wrong with the whole family life for this guy right off the bat.
Yeah, after that, he was put into a foster home where he started to actually play baseball and started to play it through high school as well, which he was offered a scholarship for, but he actually opted to enter the minor leagues. After a few games, he was called up to play at a sold-out major league game. He'd surrendered no hits the entire game. It was the bottom of the ninth with two outs, which actually means nothing to me, but I'm not going to go there.
Hey, it means something to me. That's what matters.
He became bored with the and requested the coach pull him out of the game. The coach refused and insisted that he finish the game. The opposing team's batter mocked him, accusing him of cowardice, and Bullseye threw the ball, hit him in the head, killed him. And as the ball struck, he said one word, Bullseye. And that's when he was barred from baseball and convicted of manslaughter.
Oh, boy.
Now, his original origin actually came from Electra number 2, which I'm pretty sure I just came across in my collection, actually, if it's a series. I think it is.
That was the Frank Miller miniseries, right?
I'm not sure. I've got the Electra actual run that went up to about issue 1920, way back when. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in that. I've got to go and check. I've been resorting everything at the moment, and it's just a horrendous task.
And by the way, for anybody who doesn't know baseball, just so I can explain this to you real quick, he came one out away from every single person coming up to him at the plate from not getting a hit. That's obviously a no-hitter. That's the easiest way to explain it. You know, no hits whatsoever from anybody, and then he kills a guy. I think that counts as a hit.
Yeah.
It's the wrong kind of hit, but it's the type of hit that he would later do in his life.
But did they all get walked at the end?
That's a question. technically, it's a hit by a pitch, so, you know, he's on base after that.
He just has to get there without getting tagged out, right?
Right, sure. Uh-huh.
As we were saying, the original origin had him placed as a below-average student in a trailer park with an alcoholic, physically abusive father. And in that version, he actually faked his father's suicide by using an arrow to actually set off a handgun. Yeah, that was the original. I don't know. Which version do you prefer of the origin?
The original origin story, which was in Electra number 2, sounds much more believable to me than him being a baseball player. Because I never in my head ever imagined, sure, his name is Bullseye, but for him to be a baseball player doesn't really fit with the idea I've had of him up until now.
And if he was a baseball player, then his actual alter ego would actually be known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Did they not give him a name in the story that they told him in this backstory? I guess so.
Unless that's where he was actually giving the Ben Poindexter, which you would want to call yourself that name.
Good question.
Now, his actual abilities themselves, he has no superhuman powers, but he's able to use almost any object as a lethal projectile. You name it, you throw a watch at somebody and kill them with it, I reckon.
he could throw an ice cube at somebody and they're dead.
I know we're not going to actually talk about the movie, but the fact that he used, what was it? It was a piece of candy to kill the woman on the plane?
Uh-huh. Well, we might want to touch on that a little bit just to say whether or not we actually like that interpretation of that, but we'll do that later on.
Yeah. And there is one other bit that comes up in there, actually. There's one line that they actually used in the comic.
Okay.
that actually Bullseye said at the same point, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
Now, after being convicted for manslaughter and whatnot, he was actually recruited by the NSA as an assassin, which I can see is a good idea.
Of course.
And was actually sent off to Nicaragua to help take out one of the drug lords from there. By the time he actually already arrived, he actually decided that he was going to be leaving the NSA anyway. He was going to rob the person that they were trying to get and get out of there until he discovered the guy had no money. Within 7 hours of being informed of this guy's poverty, he led him to seizing a landing strip that the Colombian cocaine smugglers used as a staging area before moving on to the US, which then he decided that he was going to actually try to barter with the cocaine shippers for use of the runway. Then he was going to take off with all the money and leave the other guy there to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is when Bullseye first encountered the Punisher.
Who
decided to take out all the problems there? Yeah. They had a pretty fierce battle, and I can't find the actual issues that this was supposed to be in. But this is the first time that Bullseye used some blood red and mud and painted a bullseye on his forehead, mocking Castle's inability to hit him.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, it kind of actually, I mean, again, we're not going to bring it up until later, but the fact that he had just a painted bullseye on his head just kind of reminds me a bit of the way he looked in the movie with that, that tattoo of the bullseye.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was more like a brand, wasn't it? That's what I always thought it was.
I think
like
so.
It had been cut into it.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And that actual fight concluded when the DEA agents arrived and the Punisher fled. So Bullseye turned himself into the DEA and was soon assigned to infiltrate the Kingpin's criminal empire.
So he goes from NSA to DEA.
Yep.
And now he's...
Oh, no, he turned himself into the DEA saying he's an NSA agent.
Uh-huh. Oh,
who then
I get you.
Shipped him off to infiltrate the Kingpin.
Okay, great. Yeah. With no downtime, I'm sure. From the looks of things, it's like, oh, sure, yeah, you're safe. Yeah, about that. Go infiltrate the Kingpin.
That's probably what he wanted.
I guess so, yeah. But and now I'm thinking in my head just how often he's actually worked for the government. This cold killer, NSA... DEA, and now with the new Thunderbolts, which are sanctioned by the government. This dude has been on the side of the law as often as he's been not on the side of the law, and yet he's still a cold-blooded killer. What the hell is wrong with that picture?
Oh, it just shows that he likes his job. That's it. So? He'll do it for whoever pays the highest price.
Yeah, I guess so.
And when he actually joined up with the Kingpin, that's the first time he attained his costume. And then he fled from the government yet again, become the most dangerous hitman in the world.
Mm-hmm. Because he just loves fleeing. I guess he's probably the closest thing to Deathstroke to Terminator you have in the Marvel U. You know, going back to a previous Rogues Gallery that we did, Deathstroke has, on occasion, worked for the side of good. It's pretty much whatever contract he gets, that's what he goes for. That's the same thing with Bullseye.
Yeah. Apart from when he actually has the chance to actually do something to get Daredevil, because he's just got a hard-on for Daredevil, it seems.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, with Daredevil, now, obviously, you're going to get into this probably, but is it because he had a contract for Daredevil and couldn't kill him, or was it just that Daredevil stopped him? What's going on with that?
I haven't actually managed to find why it is that he just... I think it's just because he hasn't been able to beat him.
Okay.
He's literally classed him as his nemesis. It got to the point, actually, in one of the Frank Miller stories where he was becoming more and more insane with a brain tumor that he was actually believing that everybody he met was Daredevil.
Oh, my.
So I think that it was probably just at that point in time that he just started to lose it.
Yeah.
That he started to face off against Daredevil, and it just sent him into a psychosis.
I really hope I never get a brain tumor, which makes me see the person I hate the most.
And the fact that his tumor was later removed successfully, though nobody actually realizes if his sanity was actually brought back.
It's because he was never really sane in the first place, obviously. Come on. The guy played with rifles before he was 10 years old, at least according to that one. And then he killed a dude in a baseball game. I mean, that doesn't exactly scream sanity to me.
I can actually see that as well. At one point, he actually, from being under arrest, he was cleared from charges under the grounds of insanity. And then he went back to the Kingpin to actually, you know, get some more employment from him to realize that the Kingpin had hired a new assassin, which, again, was Elektra. He decided she's not going to take my position, basically. And in Daredevil 181, he killed her with her own sigh, saying, "You're good. But me, I'm magic."
Ooh.
As he did in the movie when he killed Elektra.
Yeah. Well, that's a classic moment there that actually one of the few moments in the film that they got perfect. Because that one, they basically took the entire shot that was done in the books and pretty much just reiterated it on film. You know, absolutely got it like scene by scene in that one along with the line. Because that line... I'd have to say nothing is more Bullseye than that line right there. "You're good, but me, I'm magic." Because he actually thinks that. He believes that because he has his ability to, you know, hit pretty much everybody on target, that nobody's better than him at what he does. He is the true guy that gets to be able to say in the Marvel Universe, you know, I'm the best at what I do. You know, screw Wolverine, this guy has it made.
Yeah, and... I don't know, these days I'm only reading, which I'm down to reading Ghost Rider and Daredevil now, out of Marvel U, so I haven't seen him for some time.
Okay.
But, I don't know, he's always been a fun one to bring back in.
Well,
and he hasn't been back in Daredevil for Since how long? Since what, Kevin Smith's run?
No. Actually, the last time was the Murdoch Papers in Bendis' run.
Ah, yep.
Yeah, and since then, like I said, he is a member of the New Thunderbolts now. We'll get into that more as you get to it, but in that, he pretty much just gets brought in whenever they need somebody to be, quote-unquote, disabled. He's not allowed to kill, but he's still allowed to maim as much as possible.
Actually, he was in when Daredevil was in jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Devil in Cell Block B.
Yeah.
Cell Block D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had the shotgun.
Yeah.
You can give him anything, he can kill you with it, and you give him a shotgun.
Oh. Yeah, you're pretty much dooming yourself right there. All right, so moving back down the line.
Yeah. he'd actually, at one point, actually decided that Murdoch was Daredevil. Mm-hmm. For the fact that, and assumed that the actual, by looking into Matt Murdoch's history, that he was given powers by the chemical spill that blinded him. Mm-hmm. But then Daredevil was actually onto that sort of plan, and he set up literally a dummy with a tape recorder attached and came in to save, quote-unquote, Matt Murdoch. And seeing them both at the same time, he decided Daredevil wasn't Matt Murdoch.
That is
which
ridiculous.
He could be filled with an actual record. Like, recording these days, you can actually understand that they could do something that would sound like the other person.
Yeah.
But I used to record into tape recorders, and it never sounded the same.
I'm Matt Murdoch. Very nice to meet you all. How are you?
I mean, seriously, you're muffled to the point where you certainly do not sound like a human being most of the time with a tape recorder, or at least you don't sound exactly like yourself. So if he fell for that, not only is he crazy, he's stupid.
And it's not like he had the recording equipment set up for actually like what Ferris Bueller used. So.
Bueller.
Going from that, it actually ended up with a battle between the pair, Daredevil and Bullseye, on a telephone wire from where Bullseye fell and was caught by Murdoch and screamed he wasn't going to let the hero save him again because he couldn't face actually having his nemesis actually catching him all the time.
Yeah.
And tried to stab his rescuer, whereupon he was simply dropped. And that's probably one of the first times Daredevil's actually done something like that, where he literally said, oh, well, drop you then.
that is Daredevil's character, though. You know, like, I mean, it has become it more often. I mean, he goes the extra step to the point where, like, he's like, pardon my French here, if Batman didn't give a shit sometimes, he would be Daredevil.
And that literally broke Bullseye's back, paralyzing him, which, how many times have we seen characters get actually paralyzed from a broken back and coming back?
And not only that, but how many times have they gotten a broken back and then gotten, like, adamantium or something like that in a Marvel U?
Speaking of that, he resumed his criminal activities after his skeleton was repaired with adamantium by a Japanese science Lord Darkwind.
What a brilliant name right there. I really got to look up Lord Darkwind here because, all right, here we go. All right. Here's the character history, just a quick character history here on Lord Darkwind, okay? He is the father of Lady Deathstrike. That's probably his redeeming quality. He first appeared in Daredevil 196 in 83. His real name is Professor Kenji Oyama. He's a former Japanese kamikaze pilot during World War II, whose face was horribly scarred.
He must have been doing his job, right?
Oh, I guess so, yeah. But then his face got horribly scarred in a fatal suicide attack on an American battleship. I think we can sort of guess which one that was.
I'm just trying to think, who was it fatal for?
Good question.
That's worded wrong.
Yeah, no.
Where it was an almost fatal.
His face was horribly scarred in a failed suicide attack. There we go.
Failed. Okay, I thought you said a fatal.
In a failed suicide attack on an American battleship, yeah. And from there, he became Lord Darkwind. Yeah, I'm kind of enough said right there. We don't really need to have to go that farther into him right here.
I just don't know what to say about Lord Darkwind.
It's kind of hard to say anything when your name is Lord Darkwind. I mean, his two redeeming qualities is that he created Lady Deathstrike, and he gave the adamantium to Bullseye so that he wouldn't be a Professor Xavier character throwing, like, darts at people's heads from a wheelchair.
And then trying to roll off very quickly.
Yeah, which wouldn't have worked nearly as well.
But you'd always have parking close to the front door.
Easy to get in the getaway car. Oh boy! All right, we're getting lewd and crude here. So, yeah. So he was in a Captain America storyline. I see.
Yeah, he was in Streets of Poison, which was continued in the final issues of Anne.
I think it's Anne Nesenti's.
Anne Nesenti's five year long stint on Daredevil. He took advantage of Daredevil's temporary amnesia by replacing the hero in an attempt to destroy his image. Eventually, Bullseye had problems returning to his own identity, which Daredevil believed he was his own father, the boxer Jack Murdoch. Both hero and villain switched costumes, and the fight returned to their real identities, but still painfully aware of the inherent similarities.
Oh, boy. This actually kind of reminds me a bit of Kraven's Last Hunt.
I haven't read Kraven's Last Hunt.
Okay. All right. Well,
but I'm not a Spider-Man person, so I can be you.
Hey, you might not be a Spider-Man person, but you're a horror fan. Read Kraven's Last Hunt.
Okay. Well, last time someone told me to read a Spider-Man story, and it was the first one I had was Spider-Man Reign.
Ooh.
Yeah. My only other Spider-Man comic that is in this house actually was the Dan Slott one, because I got it for my son for free comic book day.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't actually mind Spider-Man the Reign. I thought it was okay. It's just radioactive spider splooch.
It made my skin crawl.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, it was pretty much supposed to be Spider-Man's Dark Knight Returns, and Dark Knight Returns had its moments of squick as well. So I guess you can relate it to that. But here, though, let me just summarize it for you, okay? Kraven has decided that it's now or never, okay? So he decides to systematically destroy the image of Spider-Man. This isn't giving much away, because this is pretty much well-known here, but just in case, spoilers. He buries Spider-Man alive and assumes his identity.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it goes from there. And this one, you don't have to worry about it being terrible, because it's a J.M. DeMatteis title.
Ah.
So cool. It's guaranteed to be terrific, and I finally picked it up actually last year at CGS 200, and it rocked my socks. It's incredibly well done. So if you do get a chance to pick it up, the trade is out there, the hardcover is beautiful, and the art is fantastic also. So if you're going to pick up a third Spider-Man storyline, have this one be it.
Okay, I'll have to have a look at it next time. I'll add it to my list.
Okay.
I've got such a huge list, it's not funny.
Yeah, I know. You listen to podcasts, of course you have a huge list.
Oh, and do you do what I do and actually forget to take it with you?
Sometimes.
So you go somewhere and say, I know I was looking for something. Now, what was it?
Of course.
And you walk out with something totally different.
Of course. Of course that's the way it works. Yeah, right. Like, I didn't come with a list for the 25-cent bins at CGS 300. I just picked shit up and brought it home. But
rub it in.
I think we were talking about Bullseye. I'm not sure, though.
Ah, yes, that's right. Okay, well, there was a few appearances, actually, where Bullseye had a run-in with the Punisher yet again, where Bullseye actually lost a finger due to the Punisher's brutality, which, I want to find these issues. I want to find out. So anyone can tell us what issues Bullseye had his finger ripped off, cut off, or whatever.
Yeah.
Let us know what issues that were. So, you know, Frank Castle, if you're there, let us know.
I'm sure that if he is listening, he's probably already looking it up.
And he later encountered Deadpool and Gambit, basically when his character wasn't really being used much. But his next major appearance was one of my favorite stories. It's one of Kevin Smith's Daredevil arc, where he actually had Bullseye was hired by Mysterio to attack and confuse Daredevil. Now, I reckon that was one of my favorite, you know, books of Daredevil at the time. Like, I keep on going through and finding more and more I like, but
yeah,
that one's always stood out to one that I actually hand out to people to listen, read if they want to actually learn about the character.
I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Smith's comic book writing these days, as people who listen to episode 47 of Comic Timing probably know already, but that one is the exception for me, because he wrote one hell of a story there. My only qualm with it is that Frank Miller did it about 20 years earlier. You know, it was very, very similar, very, very similar to the story that Frank Miller wrote a little while back, where, yeah, you know, Kingpin knows his identity and tries to systematically ruin him, which is sort of what Mysterio did. However, it was still a very good story. I'm not putting it down. And it was before Joe Quesada forgot how to draw, so it was all good.
I thought of Joe Quesada that way. I keep on thinking of him actually up there talking about Marvel all the time these days. that's probably why he's doing that now and not drawing anymore.
Yeah, actually. Well, okay, his Spider-Man stuff that he was, you know, the one issue that's come out so far of that One More Day wasn't that bad. It's certainly better than the Daredevil Father art that he did, but it's still not nearly as good as it used to be. But again, this is totally different story for another day, but I'll go on my Joe Q rant some other time. But yeah, it is actually a really good story. That much I'll give Kevin Smith on this one.
Okay, and in that actual storyline, that's where Bullseye killed Karen Page, who's one of Daredevil's longtime love interests, mm-hmm, which he's had more and more die all the time.
Yeah, he's never really recovered from that either.
No, even in 100, I think it was even brought up.
I haven't actually read 100 yet. I mean,
I finally read it yesterday. Okay. I've had it for like 4 weeks. I've been too busy reading other things.
Yeah, it was in my DCBS order, and I'm still waiting to read it.
I actually went. I occasionally go into one of my comic shops now, that mails out my stuff. So, because my wife is complaining I'm spending too much, So I go in, I pick up half my stuff, and then I get them to ship out the other half 2 weeks later.
I'm sort of doing a similar thing right now. I'm getting half my stuff from DCBS and half my stuff in the store.
Hey, my wife's not complaining about spending too much money now.
Well, the reason why I got Daredevil 100 from DCBS, usually I pick it up in the store, but it was because it was, $2 extra due to the extra, you know, material. So it was regular price from DCBS, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It was near $10 for us, I think, or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to go into that. I've been on that rant too many times with people.
Okay.
And, yeah, the next battle between Daredevil and Bullseye actually collapsed in the middle of a fight, claiming he had a brain tumor. He was brought to a maximum security prison where he recounted his origins to a federal agent. And they had also been sent to interrogate him over the location of some radioactive materials, which he'd stolen prior to his incarceration. He manipulated another agent into attacking him until one of his teeth knocked out. Bullseye used the tooth as a weapon, killing the agent and working his way to the prison's infirmary where he encountered and killed his father.
Why do I have a feeling that he could probably shape spit into a dagger and just kill somebody with that?
I like how he used someone else's tooth, though. He knocked the other person's tooth out to use it,
rather than
lose one of his own.
Of course, yeah, because then he talked like this, and that wouldn't really work for him that well. I'm Bullseye, and I've come to kill you. Wouldn't really sound very menacing.
You just have to have that sort of swagger with it, and you can just go, "I'm Bullseye, and I'm here to kill you." Okay.
We're silly, silly people. All right. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's late over there where you are.
Hey, it's only 11 o'clock. I haven't even hit my 2 a.m. jazz yet.
It's only 1 in the afternoon here. So, well, that's why I'm saying it's late over there.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Afternoon. Go ahead.
And then we get to the actual Bendis and Malieve run, which I think, apart from Miller, would have to be one of the best runs in Daredevil so far.
Agreed.
Mainly because I think that even though I like Brubaker's run now, it's not meant to be read in single issues at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just too lazy to dig out my issues to actually go through and read them all in one hit. The Kingpin actually had returned at one point to New York, and Bullseye offered to kill Daredevil for him. He decided to kill Daredevil's new girlfriend, Miller Donovan, who is currently still in the comics at the moment, so she's still his... Oh, no, she returned to be his girlfriend again, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's still around, so you know that actually failed. Daredevil had actually savagely attacked Bullseye and threw him out of a window. He enjoys dropping Bullseye. I've just noticed this. He's dropped him, you know, and broke and paralyzed him. He's now thrown him out of a window.
All right, that's it. We need an entire issue where Daredevil does nothing but drop Bullseye.
He has him on a bungee cord.
Yeah.
Bang, smack. It's just that little bit too long, so it will flow him back, but he will hit his head on the ground.
Oh, wow, we're sadistic.
Actually, if you have a look at the funny bullets, you have a look at all four of them that got put up, and you look at mine, and mine's the sadistic one with the abduction squad.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked at them all, and everyone's done convention specials, and I've done the abduction squad.
Hey, hey, hey. I had the continued search for Ray Palmer. Look out, secret Asian man.
Well, I've got the, okay, all I have to do is to jam this thumb in his throat.
Oh, George Perez, you're so evil. All right.
That frame is what made me write that. I saw that and thought, thumb to throat.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've watched too much wrestling in my time.
Yeah. So how about the one issue of Daredevil Target that actually came out?
I never read it. I'm glad I didn't waste my money on it.
Yeah. Hey, I picked it up thinking, even if he's late, I mean, it's not like he's going to be more than like a year late. Yeah, we never getting the end of that.
Yeah, that's where he actually came up with the name Lester, and his mother was a prostitute, and that he never knew his father, even though just earlier, as you could hear, he actually was in a prison trying to kill his father.
Yeah, about that. Next question.
I think this whole thing can be classed as out of continuity, so we're not going to bother with it.
I hope so. I certainly do hope so.
Well, since it was never finished, might as well not have it done.
There we go.
Then we had the Murdoch papers, as you mentioned earlier. He was then trying yet again to find out who Daredevil's secret identity was after fighting with Daredevil and Elektra, who had returned from the grave. He fled into open traffic and was hit by a truck.
I'm sorry. Why am I laughing at him being hit by a truck? Oh, it could be because he's been dropped, he's been mangled, his fingers been ripped off, and now he gets hit by a truck.
Would you actually think at that point you go, Hell's Kitchen's not for me? There's something about it that I can go all over the world.
Yeah.
I can kill anyone I want. Yeah. If I put one foot in Hell's Kitchen, I get dropped or hit by a truck.
Poor dude, and I can imagine him in traction after this, too.
At least they're not saying that the adamantium bones, you know, he went back to the doctor and actually had bits replaced as he was there.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, and then we go from the Bendis run to the Brubaker run.
Yeah, where he, as we mentioned earlier again, he was in Devil in Cell Block D, where he was actually in Rikers Island at the time. Matt Murdock was being held on charges for assumedly being Daredevil. At that point, you also had, it was Iron Fist, wasn't it, actually running around being Daredevil. You know, he was hired by somebody to be Daredevil to actually make sure that people thought that, no, Murdock wasn't Daredevil.
Yeah.
They all believed that it was a second Daredevil, but they still have never really acknowledged that in there.
Yeah, I think we're just supposed to smile, nod, and look away at this point.
I don't know, something with me just doesn't sit right there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll come up again. I mean, for now, his identity is quote-unquote safe, but everybody secretly, when he's not looking, goes, that's Matt Murdock.
And in that point, you actually had the Kingpin and Daredevil actually form a sort of alliance to actually get themselves away from a prison riot, which I'm just trying to remember. It was a while ago since I've read it. Was it actually they were trying to kill Daredevil or trying to kill the Kingpin?
I believe they were trying to kill Daredevil.
Because the fact that he was actually citing, I thought they were trying to take the Kingpin out at the same time.
It might have been both, actually. It was definitely one or the other, but I'm pretty sure it was Daredevil. But I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, because I couldn't see the Kingpin actually sitting there trying to defend him.
Yeah.
Unless he didn't come, it might have been that he didn't come up with the plan.
Yeah. Actually, that I would not be surprised about. I'll have to go back and read that again eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll add it to the pile.
Yep.
And, yeah, the Kingpin, who had foreknowledge of the appending attack, actually organized for Bullseye to be released from his full body and face restraints. So we had Bullseye as Hannibal Lecter for a while.
Hello, Clarice.
And in that, just after that, you actually had, well, Bullseye managed to get his hands on a shotgun, who, as we thought, was rather nasty, and was trying to shoot Daredevil, who kept on dodging, which he, I forgot about that, but he actually hit the Kingpin.
Yep.
With a shot.
Yes, he did. And it hurt like a bitch. And then, of course, what's going to happen to Bullseye after that? But get knocked unconscious. Because the guy just simply has no luck whatsoever.
Definitely. You'd start actually classing Daredevil as a bad luck charm.
Yeah.
If he's around, I'm leaving.
You don't want to be a villain of Daredevil because bad things are going to happen to you. And not only that, but the bad things didn't end there. Then he went to New Thunderbolts and got a little chip in his head that explodes if he does something wrong.
That's. And is he still there now? As I said, I haven't actually been reading that. But...
Yeah, New Thunderbolts, he's still there. Like I said, he pretty much gets brought in. He's the secret member of the New Thunderbolts, pretty much. Everybody else is actually a public figure, but the public would go crazy if they found out that Bullseye was actually being utilized. So what they do is, when nobody's looking, they unleash Bullseye. He knocks out the target. Then he goes back into his magical prison truck, and away he goes.
Why don't they just not put him in costume?
Good idea, but I don't think they ever thought of that. Well,
I don't know. Is it just me? It's just a simple thing. Well,
the thing is that Bullseye tattoo or that Bullseye scar on his head is just going to give him away.
Well, all you have to do is, put a bandana around his head, and he's right.
Yeah. Well,
Daredevil did it in prison.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but in Thunderbolts 115, that's when he actually underestimated his foe for once. And he got an electrical shock from a nanochain in his system. That's the one that I was talking about, where if he does anything wrong, he gets shocked. Anything wrong whatsoever. If he goes too far with a character... that he's trying to pursue, done. That's it. It's over. You're paralyzed. Yeah. End the story.
I could just see it. Sort of like, you put your knife on the wrong side of the plate when you finished your meal. Shock.
Yeah. But there's even one thing that's worse than that. The fact that the shock actually gave him, again, paralysis and brain injury. As of now, he's missing a speech center.
Oh, God.
He can't talk.
I take it the writer just doesn't like Bullseye.
His name is Warren Ellis. I rest my case.
Okay.
Yeah. Warren Ellis is writing Thunderbolts. Warren Ellis does these things.
I haven't read Thunderbolts. Something about the Marvel Universe has been drawing me away from the moment.
Well,
and I don't know. Warren Ellis's stuff elsewhere is doing quite a lot more for me than what that would.
Well, Thunderbolts is actually good. Thunderbolts is actually probably one of the best superhero stories he's ever written. It's a straight superhero story. How often do you see Warren Ellis write straight superhero? He's not throwing in any crazy mutant monsters or like some super future utopia or some mad doctor. It's just a team of supervillains that are acting as heroes. That's it.
Well, what about Black Summer? Oh, no, that's more of...
Yeah.
They were a super team until they went crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So at this point here, it's actually, to me, this is the most simple stuff he's written in a very long time. That's why I'm enjoying it. There's no, real twist to it other than the obvious, what the Thunderbolts were in the first place. Villains trying to be heroes. There you go.
I've been bribed into being heroes.
Yeah, yeah. And, hey, who could forget that appearance he had in DC versus Marvel, too? Bullseye. did you happen to read DC versus Marvel back in the day?
Not really. Okay. I only got the amalgam stuff.
Well, when DC versus Marvel happened, he actually got transported into the Batcave.
Oh, crap.
He went from being on our world to the Batcave. And Batman's just like, who the hell are you? And then he tries to take out Batman. To say the least, Batman kicks his ass. Because he's Batman.
But he mentioned the toys he's got access to in there that are just laying around.
Could you imagine him trying to throw a giant penny?
I could imagine him trying to actually knock it over to actually hit him.
Yeah, but...
Or maybe climb up the dinosaur and pull out one of its teeth and actually kill everybody with it.
Hey, he threw a batarang. Okay, that's all I have to say. Bullseye threw a batarang at Batman. That's why I love DC versus Marvel.
I don't know. I'm just a bit... Yeah, I'll keep away. I've decided I'm going to keep away from crossovers like that. You know, like, Lobo the Duck was great, but I went back and read the Dark Claw stuff and all that sort of stuff, and it's like, they just wanted to mash these characters together because they were popular, that's it. The story behind it sucked. Even though back in the day I actually enjoyed it, but looking at it these days...
Challengers of the Fantastic is probably my favorite one to this day. They did a perfect meshing of the Challengers of the Unknown and the Fantastic Four.
I'm going to have to find all those. I only ended up getting Dark Claw out of the whole lot.
Okay. Yeah. Thor Ryan and Challengers of the Fantastic are the two that I would recommend. Because Thor Ryan actually had John Romita Jr. art.
Ah,
and
cool.
That was Thor and Orion, obviously. A combination of the New Gods and the Asgards. So, the Asgardians. So, of course, they were the new Asgardians.
Now, did you actually ever read Identity Disc?
Dear God, no.
Okay.
Did you ever read Identity Disc?
I never even heard of it before. I actually did some research on Bullseye, so I think from your reaction, that's enough said about that.
That's the one that Comic Geek Speak tried to give away over and over again. And nobody wanted it. That's the one that Marvel Comics changed the name of when Identity Crisis was coming out, just so people would mistakenly pick that up.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I kid you not. It was going to be called something entirely different, and they called it Identity Disc specifically because Identity Crisis was coming out. That's all you need to know about this title.
He was in that. Don't read it. Okay.
Yeah.
Ultimate Bullseye, I haven't touched the Ultimate Universe. Apparently, he actually appeared in Ultimate Electra. In Ultimate Electra, I didn't even realize they did an Ultimate Electra book.
You know, yeah, I didn't read that. However, I did read Ultimate Electra Daredevil, which was actually pretty good. The team-up that they did with Salvador Roca art. That was pretty cool, but I'd never actually read this particular one with him. So, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, from the looks of things, it's not much of a different character.
But instead of an actual... Yeah, just from reading about it, instead of actually being in a costume, he's actually doing what an assassin should be doing and masquerading as, say, police officers or other people around while he's trying to make a hit.
Good.
But he does have the Bullseye tattoo on his forehead.
Oh, and hey, his amalgam is Deadeye.
And Deadshot, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bullseye and Deadshot together to make Deadeye.
They're basically the same character, though, aren't they? Really?
Similar. The only difference is that, well...
One uses guns more.
Yeah, one uses guns more, and he doesn't really have a family. Bullseye doesn't have a family, while Deadshot does.
Oh, okay.
Deadshot has a daughter, if I remember correctly about the character. So he actually has a family to worry about.
We'll have to do him at a later date. I don't know that much about Deadshot.
But
so,
they are very,
but there's another one for down the track.
Though.
Yeah. They seem to be, from what I've read, just from seeing Deadshot turn up in Birds of Prey of late.
Yeah.
And then we get on to the film that he was in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was called Bullseye. Yeah, a wonderful film called Bullseye. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It was called Daredevil, yeah. Cause...
It was called Ben Affleck. I mean, it was called Daredevil, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
It was called We Wear the Leather.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I didn't mind it. There are worse films out there. I know that for sure.
Oh, it's certainly not, like, Catwoman bad.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
But I've yet to see the director's cut, too, because I can't find it anywhere, which apparently makes it better.
Well, yeah, that's when they actually, I think, inserted another 20 minutes into the film and made it, I think it was actually a war room scene with, if I remember correctly, he was defending Coolio in court.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually put that
I remember in. Something said about it, but...
Yeah.
It's supposed to make the actual story a lot better.
Hmm.
But I was waiting for the DVD to get down to a certain price, like $10.
Yeah.
Normally our DVD's about $30, so I was trying to get it down to that, and then everybody sold out. So.
Of course, yeah. I mean, what do you think of Colin Farrell's actual portrayal of him?
I didn't mind it. I like the fact that he turned around and said, and I want a costume. I reckon that was cool. Like, he sort of like, he realizes that he's got to be on this guy's level and decides that, yep, yeah, and I want a costume to be like him.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of make sense. And the one thing I don't like about the movie is because it was made, they made Bullseye look like him in the comics. For that short time, which didn't really need to be done.
But that always happens.
Not always. I mean, Wolverine never got the costume he got in, like, the X-Men movies or anything like that.
God, no, I stopped reading Wolverine a long time ago.
Okay, well, you know what? Actually, I'll put it like this. Batman's costume didn't change when Batman Begins came out. So, I mean, that's how I'll put that, I guess, because, you know, he still
but
had the same...
You can say that goes all... Ghost Rider's actual costume has changed since it's back to being Johnny Blaze. And
true.
He's actually got Danny Ketch's powers,
mm-hmm.
like all the chains and stuff, which is, that's the actual, you know, the version of Ghost Rider I actually remember growing up with was all the Dan Ketch stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think they realized that the Danny Ketch stuff had a lot of buoyancy in the industry and that they wanted to keep it afloat.
Need to bring him back, I think, now.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd kind of like to see that.
Do you remember the, was it Ghost Rider and Johnny Blaze comics?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah.
Where he had Johnny Blaze on his bike with his hair and he not getting burnt. Because he had a flaming bike as well.
Yep. Because it was magical flames that couldn't get him burnt. Of course. Yeah. But what I was going to ask you about is, was there anything about his powers other than the ability to, you know, basically hit everything on target that is of interest to you, or is that really it, or what?
That's the bit that sort of interests me. You know, it's going from his actual creation, he would actually had to have been practicing. So if he has been shooting from the age of 10, younger actually, that was his brother at the age of 10, so he would have had a lot of practice doing stuff like that. So he's shown that he actually has the commitment to learn it. The fact that he can actually pick up anything, I'm not too sure if I agree with that.
Okay.
For the fact, like, if you can, flicking a ball bearing at someone is totally different than throwing a card at someone.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that explained a little bit more. I like the fact that he's actually, instead of just being having the accuracy, he's actually an expert martial artist as well.
Yeah.
He's actually thought of, well, what happens if someone runs up and catches me?
Sure, yeah. Because your power, I mean, that's just like with a superhero, you know. You can't just rely on your powers. You got to know how to fight, too.
Yeah, so it shows that he's actually thought about what he wants to actually do.
Yeah, all in all, he is a pretty interesting character. It's just... He has to be utilized, right? Because I've seen way too many instances where they basically just go like, hey, we need somebody to be like an assassin dude. Bullseye, I guess you're up.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, you sort of weaken the character that way. He's got to be used sparingly, but, you know, like just enough to keep him in the comic book fan's eye and not too much where he's everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not to pull a Wolverine.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree with that.
From what you've said about what they've been doing with him with the Thunderbolts, I think that's just bad writing.
Yeah.
You know, you see it with everyone, you know. There's a lot of characters that you wouldn't actually consider being a good character. Look at when we talked about The Shade.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that all he was a two-dimensional Flash villain.
Okay.
To what James Robinson did with him in Starman.
Yeah.
That is probably one of the best uses of a character that I've seen.
One thing that you do get from him in New Thunderbolts, though, that I wouldn't say is bad writing, is the fact that he is that secret assassin still. He is the guy that they do call on when they need somebody to kick ass. You know, that's what he's there for. The Shocking was his own mistake because he did underestimate a guy just because he was called American Eagle.
Yeah.
You know, he just had to learn to pretty much do what he's told, just like what he was not able to do before when he worked for the government. Only now, the government has a leash on him. So, you know, he's sort of forced to do their bidding at this point, which you know is not going to last. But for now, he's stuck with a limit. which is interesting for me to see how far he can go with that limit and still be Bullseye.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where it goes, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you
I'll,
do...
I'll have to start looking at that one now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to pick it up and trade, I think the first six issues are out now, and I think they're only up to, like, the seventh or eighth issue in the run, for, at least the Warren Ellis run, so... You know, give it a shot and, you know, let me know what you think afterwards, either, you know, audio comment, whatever, that's cool with me. Any other final thoughts on Bullseye before we wrap it up? Or are you good?
No, I'm good with that. He's been interesting enough that we wanted to actually talk about him. As I said, I've been reading him from the Daredevil, so he's always been fairly good in that. And the fact that he's basically like an alter ego, he's sort of the person that takes the extra step than what Daredevil does.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, cool. All right, so okay, there we go with Bullseye. And if you do have your own thoughts on Bullseye, don't be afraid to check them in at comictiming@gmail.com, and we'll go ahead and read them. Or obviously go to the forums, and there'll be a thread for this, so you can post them on there or anything like that. And obviously, where can they contact you, Damien?
You can get me at, let's see, LordChafer@LordChafer.com. An email address has been out there for a while now. So.
Excellent. And obviously, LordChafer.com/cryptographic for cryptographic.
That's right. Or you can go to cryptographic.ning.com, which is our little Ning portal, which we put up all the upcoming film trailers and interviews that we come across, and all sorts of information like that up there.
Excellent. Yeah, and if you want to hear Damien calling in all the way from Australia for the CGS 300 episode, go ahead and listen to, well, CGS 300. Kind of speaks for itself right there. ComicGeekSpeed.com, you can find that there. But yeah, we're done here, so the usual wrap-up begins. The email address for Comic Timing, as I said, is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com/forum, which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speed guys over at comicgeekspeed.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com, and we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters. Cryptographic is as well. You can find that over at comicbooknoise.com/league. A whole bunch of people involved in that, so go ahead and enjoy. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated. And please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. So for Damien and for myself, I'm Ian Livesey, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics, and there's always time for villains, too. See you next time.
Okay, well, Bullseye's first appearance actually was in Daredevil 131 from 1976, and he was created by Mark Wolfman and John Romita Zoon. John Romita Zoon. I can't say his name. J.R.J.R.
John Romita Zoon. That sounds like one of Superman's villains right there. All right. There we go.
This is why you notice that actually that Brian actually says all of the names that I can't pronounce in the show. You listen to it. All the hard names he does.
All right. One more time. Let's see how it goes. Yeah, I mean, I lost the ability to speak all of a sudden. Terrific.
We've got a long way to go.
Yeah, I know. And we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at Comics I said that already. Okay. Terrific. And we're proud members of the Comics. We're proud members of the Comics. We're proud members of the Comics. Hey, all right. Woohoo.
I had a new car stereo put in my car, so instead of using headphones in the car to listen to podcasts, I can let everybody listen to it.
Okay, well, that's good, because here in the U.S., they actually don't let you wear headphones in the car, because they find that an obstruction.
They don't do that here either. Okay. But what you do is you take one out when a policeman's coming and you say it's your headset for your mobile phone.
Gotcha. I've learned so much.